So, all that good stuff that's going on. Today, we're doing a new series. And I've entitled this message, Know the Enemy. Can I tell you that we have a very different kind of enemy? And this is an enemy that you will not ever like or want to have. You know, Jesus talked about loving your enemies. He was talking about the physical enemies, the people that we see, the people that we deal with, our neighbors, all those people. And if you don't get along with those people, then you need to learn to love those. But this is one enemy that is truly our enemy. And today we're starting this series, and we're going to look at the supernatural realm. You know, we live in the physical realm, but there is more going on than what we can actually see. In the spiritual realm, what we cannot see is a whole other world. There's a whole other world there that we can't see what's happening, what's going on, because it's not in our physical realm. It's not in black and white in front of us that we can see. There is a spiritual realm, and there is lots that's taking place. Paul talks about this realm in Ephesians chapter 6. In the 80s, I used to love reading these books. They're called This Present Darkness, written by Frank Peretti. And there's a second one called Piercing the Darkness. And they deal with the spiritual realm, spiritual warfare. And let me just say, if you've never read those books, there are two of the best, I think, well-written fiction books that you'll ever read as far as dealing with anything spiritual. And I highly recommend you getting a copy of those books and reading those books, because I promise you, they will make you look at things in ways that you've never looked at things before. I introduced them to my oldest daughter when she was in junior high, and she's loved them. She's already read them twice, and she's just a junior in high school. And so, I'm going to do the same and introduce them to my youngest when she gets a little bit older and can understand this more. But that realm is something that I believe that it's very important for us as a church to understand. In the early 60s, C.S. Lewis wrote a book on this subject called The Screwtape Letters. It's another fictional writing that is well written. And also, when I was a youth pastor, I used to show a movie to my students called Invisible Enemies. And it's about the spiritual realm. This guy, he finds this pair of glasses, and these glasses allow him to look into the spiritual realm, and he's able to see what's happening, what's going on, what's happening out there in the spiritual realm. It's a good movie if you get a chance to watch. It'd be a great one to watch. But this has always been a fascinating subject to me. And so over the next several weeks, I want us to look into the spiritual realm, and I'm hoping that you get a better understanding of what's happening in the spirit war. Before we move any further, I want us to pray. Can we do that? Can we all bow our heads? And I just want us to pray and ask God to have his way in this place. Can I tell you, there's battles happening right now in this service. And let's pray. God, we just come to you right now. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would sweep over this place amongst the hearts and lives of every individual that's here. We know that we are talking about a subject that we don't always talk about in the church. We know that we're talking about something that we don't always think about. The spiritual realm. Knowing who our enemy is. Knowing how we can fight this enemy, God. And so, God, I come to you right now, and I ask that in this service that you would open up our hearts and our minds, open up our lives to be able to receive from your word, to be able to receive what you are speaking to us, to be able to talk to us, God. And I pray right now in Jesus' name that anybody that is held captive will be set free in your name. And we believe this, and we know that you can do all things. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of Ephesians. And I want to read three verses today from chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, I'm going to begin at verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, begin reading at verse 10. I read from the NIV, and it says this: "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." Now, let me say something here. If you look at the first word that Paul uses here, he says, "Finally." You ever made that statement? Said, "Oh, finally." You know what I'm talking about? What does that mean? It's completing, right? It's coming to the end. It's at the end. Well, Paul kind of means something a little bit more here. This word not only indicates the beginning of the final section, but it also means from now on. In other words, what Paul is telling you, this is not something that you're going to do just one time here at the end and then it's over. No, what he's telling them is he's saying from now on. In other words, it's not going to stop. And look at what he says. Finally, be what? Strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. In other words, you're going to need to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power from now on until Jesus comes. You understand what I'm saying? This is not just going to be a one and done thing. Because this enemy that we're about to talk about is very powerful. And he wants to take you down. He wants to destroy the church. He wants to destroy God's people. And he wants to do away with them. But this word says, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. You see what I'm saying? In other words, don't stop living in the power of God. We're going to need the power of God from now until we leave this earth. From now until eternity, because the enemy's not going to stop. And so we have to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Now, let's read some more. Verse 11, he says, "Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." And then now look at this, verse 12. This is what we're going to talk about today. "For our struggle is not against what? Flesh and blood." You understand that? You're not fighting each other. Amen? "But against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of" what? "This dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm." So after Paul tells us that we must fully depend on God from now until the end, till eternity, all for the rest of our life, you get it? He's saying, so you must depend on God. Then he says what? He says you got to be ready. You got to be ready for the enemy. You got to be ready. You got to put on your, how many of you would go to battle and not put on any armor? How many of us would be able to say, "Man, I'm going to go fight this fight, you know? I like watching MMA, boxing, any kind of combat where two guys..." Yes, I even like wrestling, I know. Goofy, isn't it? But just bear with me here. None of these guys, none of these people get ready to fight each other without doing what? They put on their armor, whatever they got to do. If it's their gloves, they're going to put their gloves on. They're going to wear their shorts that make them comfortable. They're going to get in there. They're going to be able to, you know, they put the paste on their face or whatever they do so when they get cut, they don't bleed too bad. And they get ready to go into battle, right? They know they got a fight that they're fixing to fight. And as believers, do you hear what I'm saying? We cannot fight the enemy unless we are prepared to go to war. Do you understand what I'm saying? Does everybody understand what I'm saying? We cannot fight the enemy unless we are prepared to go to war. So, and we're going to talk about getting prepared next week. So hang on, but we're going to talk about our enemy now. Who are we fighting? Who are we going against? And he says this, I want to read verse 12 again. It says, for our struggle, it's not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So it's in this verse that Paul is telling us exactly who our enemy is. And I like how the Message translates this verse. I want to read it to you. This is just for fun because I liked how it said it. It said, this is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. I like how it says that. So when you read verse 12, you see that what we are facing is not something in the natural sense. Understand that. It's not something that you and I can necessarily see. Unless for some reason God gives you the ability to look into the spiritual realm. This is not something that we see in our physical eyes. But we are fighting something that is very active in the supernatural world. This is not fiction. This is not fake. But it's very real, and you need to be very aware of it. Amen? So, if it was a physical battle that we were facing, then if we had enough training, we might could take on the enemy on our own, right? Like I said, when two guys get ready to prepare, what do? They go and they prepare. They study. They learn how to fight. They, you know, if you've ever watched football or basketball or any sport, any competition where two teams go against each other, you know, what are they doing? They prepare. They have practice. You know, football, I love football. It starts usually in September. But you know what they're doing? They're training now so that they can play ball in September. Why? Because they got to keep in physical condition. They've got to know what the right equipment are. They start preparing and how to block and how to pass and how to catch. And they learn all these things. Matter of fact, the people that are playing professional sports, you know what they did? They started playing those sports when they were young in peewee football. They started learning there, and they developed their skills as they grew older and got better at it. And then they got recruited by a college, went on and played college ball, and then they got drafted into the NFL. That's how they became a professional player. It was years and years of training. And training, we need training so that we know how that we can take on the enemy. It's not a physical battle, but it is a spiritual battle. And the only way to win this battle is with the power of God. Amen? So think about it this way. Think of the largest fighter that you've ever seen. Maybe someone as big as Goliath. Goliath was 9 feet tall. That's a big dude, isn't it? I mean, he's a big dude. When I was a kid, one of the big wrestlers was Andre the Giant. Anybody remember Andre the Giant? I mean, that dude was massive, wasn't he? I remember seeing one time in a wrestling magazine when I was a kid, an Andre the Giant sitting there, and he's got two ladies on this side and two ladies on this side, and he's holding them up. That's a big dude. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's a big man. And I can only imagine, take the biggest guy that you could possibly think of, and I just thought of Goliath, and imagine that giant going up against someone that was about 5 feet tall. Now, more than likely, that giant's going to win, right? The odds would seem hopeless except for one critical fact. God is fighting on our side. Amen? God is fighting for us. He's on our side. He's with us. He's walking with us. He's with us each and every step. He's on the right track with us. And if you ever remember studying Roman history, you'll remember the stories of the gladiator battles that took place in the Roman Colosseum. And these gladiators, they would fight to the death. It was hand-to-hand combat, determined by two possible outcomes, and it was either victory or death. It was a fight to the finish. There was no middle ground. There was no, well, okay, you won this round. Let's go. There was no second round. They went out and they fought to the death. And this is the reality that we face in this spiritual battle that we are in. It is a battle of two possible outcomes, either victory or death. The odds seem stacked against us when you hear Paul describe our enemy. He tells us that our enemy consists of rulers, consists of authorities, and the powers of this dark world. And this is the closest the Bible comes to describing the military order of the demonic forces. So when we look at this type of enemy, we think, man, what chance do I have against such a cosmic powers, right? You ever thought about that? You ever thought, what chance do I have? What chance do I have of ever winning a battle? And the first two words that's used is rulers and authorities. This is what Paul is describing our enemy. And Paul has used these before to describe this enemy of believers. The third phrase that he uses in verse 12 gives us a little more detail. It literally means world powers of this darkness. And this describes their ruling function and their power in the world of evil. Scripture tells us that these beings were cast out of heaven into this world and are now imprisoned in it, and they constitute the gods of this world and its rulers under their leader, Satan. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 says, "For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them in chains of darkness to be held for judgment." Jude verse 6 says, "And the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their proper dwelling, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day." Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 9 says, "Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him." In the Roman world, the term world powers spoke of the absolute power of the Roman deities. Here it denotes the evil deities over the spirit world of darkness and evil. So the first three terms, they're summed up in the fourth description. The fourth description was this: spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. This is a term that encompasses all of the fallen angels. They are spiritual forces arrayed against God and his people. They both constitute and stand completely on the side of evil in all its forms. You and I, us, we live and function. We receive spiritual blessings as well as fight against the evil powers in the heavenly realms. Our battle that we fight is a spiritual battle in a spiritual realm. The battles that we face are not here on this earth. Amen? Do you understand that? The battles that we fight, that we face, the enemy that we face, it's not here on this earth, but they're in the heavenlies. You cannot see this battle take place, but trust me, it's there. However, Christ, amen? Do you hear what I'm saying? But Jesus Christ is our Savior, and he conquered death, hell, and the grave, and he is at work for us here, amen? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20 says, he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. And it is in Christ that our victory is secure. Amen. We have victory in Jesus. Amen. It's not just an old song that we used to sing in church all the time. But we have victory in Jesus every single day. We can walk in victory and understand that Jesus is on our side. Hallelujah. Satan and his demons, they're our enemies. Think about this. When someone says mean things against you, or they're doing evil to you, that evil comes from one place. Your enemy, Satan. God will not make evil. God did not make evil. Do we understand that? Evil came about because of rebellion. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 14 says, "How you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly, on the utmost heights of Mount Zaphon. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High." The verse 12 that I just read to you, it uses the words morning star. The King James uses the word Lucifer. And this is the same word. It means light bearer. Now, according to Isaiah, Lucifer was an angel who rebelled against God and wanted to take to himself the worship that belonged only to God. Do you understand the importance of when we worship what we're doing? We're giving God our respect. We're giving God our honor. We are honoring God because of He is the Creator. Too many times we worship creation and not the Creator. You hear what I'm saying? Oh, that's so beautiful. Look at all those beautiful trees. Look at the beautiful plants. I planted this. It came up. Isn't that amazing? And we look at, you know, you hear about these people that worship nature, you know? They, this is so beautiful. This is so wonderful. Can I tell you that we need to admire what God created, but we don't need to worship it. Do you hear what I'm saying? We need to worship not the creation, but we need to worship the Creator. And the Creator is the only one that deserves our praise. The Creator is the only one that deserves our worship. The Creator is the only one that can help you when you go up against an enemy that is vile, that is evil, that wants to destroy you. So it's important that we understand that we need to come and worship the Creator, the God that created all things, the God that loves us and created us, and how much He cares for us. And He loves us so much. He loves us so much. And He sent His Son Jesus to die on a cross for our sins so that we can walk in victory. Amen? So that we can walk in victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But Satan's ambition, he wanted to be like the Most High God. And you know, if you've read Genesis, you understand that this is the same temptation that Satan presented to Adam and Eve in the garden. And it's true for us today. The world worships and serves the creature rather than Creator. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 25. It says, "They exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen." Man is also self-serving today, right? Well, I want it. It's what I want. It's what I need. It's my desire. It's what I want to have. We want what we want. We don't care what God wants. This is what Satan has presented to us. He wanted to separate man from God. So he used Eve to bring sin in the world, but God prevailed by building a bridge for us to cross to himself by sending Jesus, the perfect spotless lamb, to come and die for our sins. Jesus is how we are able to have victory over darkness, victory over the enemy. The ambition of the Christian, it should be to be like Christ Jesus in all things. Amen? But Satan wants us to be self-serving like him. This is our enemy. This is who our enemy is. And that's what we were like when we were not living for God. We were self-serving, right? Because we were being selfish. We wanted what we wanted. We wanted our desires, our pleasures. But on the day that we surrendered our life to Christ, we gave up our way of doing things and we decided to live as Christ lived. Amen. I want to read a verse. I want to read a passage of Scripture. And I'm coming to a close. Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to begin reading at verse 1. I'm going to read several verses. And I want you to listen to this very carefully. It says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Oh, that's good, isn't it? Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. Ooh. Now listen to verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, everybody say Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Of God the Father. Understand this. Once I surrendered my life to Christ, I gave up my way of thinking and I follow his plan for my life. Understood? And when I did that, I became an enemy of the world. So my enemy, it's not a physical enemy, but it is a spiritual enemy that lives in a spiritual realm. And the only way that I can defeat that enemy is through the power of God. Amen? You want to defeat the enemy? You do it through the power of God. And we have to call him out. Here's what I want us to do. If you could do this with me today. I want us all to stand, please. And we're going to make a declaration this morning. And I want you to mean it, and I want you to say it like you mean it. Here's what I want you to say. You can repeat it after me. Say, Satan, you have no authority over me. I am a child of God. You have no authority over my family. We are bought with a price. You have no authority over this church. This is God's church, and upon his rock it will stand. In Jesus' name you must flee. Let's worship the Lord this morning. God, we just thank you. Lord, we just thank you right now. We give you praise and we give you glory. And we give you all the authority and the honor. And we ask that same authority that you have, you've given to us. That when the enemy tries to come in against our family, tries to come in against our life, tries to come in against this church, then we can stand bold and we can stand firm and say, enemy, Satan, you have no authority over our life, no authority over our family, no authority over our church, but we're going to stand firm and we're going to go forth and be the who God has called us to be, and we're going to do the work that you've called us to do. Lord Jesus, we give you praise and we give you glory and we give you honor and we claim victory right now in Jesus' name. Let's just worship him all over this house. Hallelujah. God, we claim victory right now. We claim victory right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord God. We praise you. We give you glory. We give you honor. Can we sing that raise a hallelujah again? Hallelujah. I want you to sing it tonight or today. I want you to sing it like you mean it. I want you to worship the Lord. And I want you to believe what you're singing. Don't just be saying words. But sing the words of what God is saying. Hallelujah.
Raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemy. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm, louder and louder, gonna hear my praises roar up from the ashes. Hope will arise, death is defeated, the King is alive. I raise a hallelujah with everything inside of me. I raise a hallelujah. Watch the darkness flee. I raise a hallelujah in the middle of the mystery. I raise a hallelujah. Fear you lost your hold on me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm, louder, gonna hear my praises roar up from the ashes. Hope will arise, death is defeated, the King is alive. Sing a little louder, sing a little louder, sing a little louder. Sing a little louder, 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 sing a little louder in the presence of my enemy. Sing a little louder, louder than the unbelief. Sing a little louder. My weapon is a melody. Sing a little louder. There you lost your hold on me. Sing a little louder. In the presence of my enemies. Sing a little louder. Louder than the unbelief. Sing a little louder. My weapon is a melody. Sing a little louder. Fear you lost your hold on me. Sing a little louder. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm, louder and louder, gonna gonna hear my praises roar up from the ashes. Hope will arise. Death is defeated. The King is alive. I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah.
Worship all over this place. Hallelujah. Lord, we worship you, Lord. Lord, we magnify your name, oh God. We give you praise and glory and honor, God. You are King of kings and Lord of lords, and we worship you today, God. Lord, the enemy is defeated in Jesus' name. The enemy is defeated in Jesus' name. And we stand firm on your word today, God, and we thank you for the victory that we have. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. 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 If you're here today and you feel like you are defeated, I want you to know you can walk in victory. You can walk in victory. You don't have to walk out of here and feel defeated. Don't let the enemy steal your joy. Amen? Don't let the enemy steal your peace. Don't let the enemy steal whatever it is that he's trying to take away from you. Walk out of here in victory and receive it today. Amen? Here's what I want to do. I want to give you an opportunity. Here it is, Mother's Day. It's 11:30. We got plenty of time. The restaurants are going to be full anyway, so you're going to have to wait, whether you wait here in church or wait at the restaurant. It don't matter. So here's what I want you to do. If you say, I'm struggling right now, I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's finances. I don't care if it's marriage. I don't care if it's your kids. I don't care if it's just your physical body or your spiritual body. Whatever it is that the enemy has tried to attack you and he's tried to come against you, I want you to come to this altar today and I want you to receive your victory. You receive victory today. Amen. Don't let the enemy win. Amen. Don't let the enemy win. But you come down with your hands raised. You say, I want to receive victory. Remember, I talked about this a few weeks ago, several weeks ago. Remember when Moses, as long as he was raising his hands, what was happening? They were winning the battle. But whenever his hands began to fall, the enemy would start winning. So I want you to come with your hands raised. I don't care if you say, well, I just don't do that. It doesn't matter. I don't care if you do it or not. I believe that sometimes there is just something that we have to claim victory over, and we have to take authority over the enemy. Jesus says that you have the authority. And I'm probably going to butcher this because I don't have it memorized or in front of me. But he says, I've given you the authority to what? Tread on what? Snakes and scorpions, and nothing by any means will harm you, right? So he's given you the victory to come and to receive that victory. So if you're here today and you say, I need victory over blank, whatever it is, I want you to come and I want you to receive your victory this morning. Come right now. Don't wait. Be the first one down. Come on. Who else? God wants to set you free this morning. Don't sit there and say, well, I just don't want to come down. You need to be down here. If there's something that you're struggling with, there's something that's going on, and you need the victory over it, you need to come and receive your victory. Anybody else? Come. Come right now. Can I have some of those to come and pray with these right now? Even if you haven't come yet and you still feel like you need to come, go ahead and come. But we're going to claim victory right now. Can you stretch forth your hands from where you're at and believe in for these that are down here? God, we just come to you right now. And God, we claim victory right now. In Jesus' name, we have the authority to overcome against the enemy. And so we are praying right now. Father in heaven, that you would come and that you would give us the victory that we need to conquer whatever we are faced with, whatever is hurting our bodies, whatever is hurting our families, whatever is hurting our marriages, whatever is going on. We claim victory over it right now in Jesus' mighty name. And we stand firm on your word. We stand firm on what you're wanting us to do. And we declare victory right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we praise you right now. God, we thank you for victory, Lord God. We thank you for this victory that we have. There is victory in Jesus, and we receive it today. We receive it right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're down here, I want you to raise your hands, and I want you to say, I declare victory. I declare victory in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you and we praise you, God. We give you glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord God. I claim victory, Lord God. I claim victory. Hallelujah. 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 I want to give everybody an opportunity. Whether you're here in service or you're watching at home and you're saying, I don't know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I want to give you that opportunity right now. And I want you to say this prayer. Say, dear Jesus, I'm not living for you right now, but I want a life change. I want a heart change. And I declare victory over the enemy. I know that you love me, and I know that you care for me, and you want what's best for me. And so I ask right now that you would come and give me the victory that I need over my sin. Jesus, come into my heart, save my soul, and give me victory. The enemy is no longer going to have me, but I'm going to walk in victory through the blood of Jesus Christ. And I receive salvation right now, and I ask these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. 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 Can we just worship him one last time here, God? We just praise you right now. God, we give you the glory, Lord. Lord, I thank you for anybody this morning, God, that didn't know you, but they said that prayer and they've received you as their Lord and Savior. God, I pray that they make this day for Mother's Day 2021 will be a change in their life. That they're going to move forward and they're going to walk in the victory that you are guiding them in. And they're going to be able to take this journey and take it at one step at a time. A new step each and every day. And we claim victory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord is good. Amen. Lord is good. Amen. Do you receive the victory this morning? Do you know who your enemy is? Do you know how? So next week, we're going to learn how to defeat the enemy. I think today was a good start, amen? Today was a good start. You can be seated. I want to ask if somebody could make sure all our kids groups come in, and we're going to do some drawings. You know, I like to get in God's Word, and I like to also celebrate. And today we're celebrating all the ladies. And I just want to say thank you for being mothers and grandmothers and friends and sisters and, you know, and aunts and anything that you could possibly be. I want to say thank you.